You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
Let us notice the book of Romans and the 14th chapter. Going to start out with one verse of scripture. Romans chapter number 14. And let's call your attention to verse number 22. Romans 14 verse number 22 starting out will be the only scripture that we're actually going to consider in Romans the 14th chapter. Again, I'm calling your attention to the book of Romans, Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, his letter to the church at Rome, which contained great and valuable instructions for the saints. Amen. Notice Romans 14 and verse 22. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Romans 14 verse 22. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Paul says to the church, do you have faith? Do you have faith? Interesting. He asked them, do you have faith? Now, the reason that's interesting is because when you look at Romans 1 and 8, Paul says to this church that their faith is being spoken of throughout the world. Throughout the world, their faith is on display. This is what he tells them in the first chapter of the book of Romans. Yet when Paul arrives at the 14th chapter, as he works his way through this epistle, he then comes and says to them, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God, or have it to yourself towards God. And how many know that's in line with what Jesus said in Mark 11 and 22 when he told his disciples, have faith in God. You remember that in Mark 11, 22, Jesus told disciples, he said, have faith in God. See, you can put faith in a number of things. Come on, somebody. I said, you can put faith in a number of things. But Paul is encouraging the church to have faith towards God. Have faith in God. Let's start back over because he asked them, do you have faith? Then he says to them, have it to yourself before God. Now notice this. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. And of course, what they need to approve is living by faith or having faith toward God, or being a faith walker. Notice again, he said, again, happy is he or she who does not condemn himself or herself in what he approves, which is, again, faith. And so based upon that, our subject this morning is don't condemn yourself. Don't condemn yourself. But we also have a subtopic this morning, which is, do you have faith? I want to speak to you from the subject, the main topic, don't condemn yourself. But I also want to consider a subtopic this morning, which is, do you have faith? If you don't mind, look at a neighbor and tell your neighbor, don't condemn yourself. Look at one more person, tell him or her, don't condemn yourself. Now let's give God a praise for the subject on this morning. Again, when Paul writes, one of the meaning that Paul is using in Romans 14 and verse 22, when he asked the saints at Rome, do you have faith? Do you have faith? Want us to receive this morning, faith being, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Do you have complete confidence in the God that you serve? Do you have complete confidence in the one that you pray to every day? Do you have complete confidence in the one that you worship regardless or despite the things that you go through? Do you trust God? Do you have confidence in God? Finally, when you have trust in God, when you have confidence in him, you have full assurance in him. You have, again, full assurance in him. Now, to have full assurance in God means that you can walk a walk or live a life where you are free from doubt. You are free from doubt. There is no longer a reason for you to doubt God. And isn't it wonderful when you move into that place? Because when we was immature in God, there were times that we doubted God. We doubted God based upon the things that we saw with our natural eyes. Do you remember a time when you was immature, when you was growing in the things of God, when you was being taught, you was learning how to trust God, how to have full confidence, a full assurance in him? Do you remember a time where you allowed what you saw to tell you that God was not going to do the very thing he promised you he would do? Have you ever been moved by what you was hearing and you allowed the words of mere men to cause you to distrust the God of your salvation? Some of you are quiet, but I can tell on myself this morning. I know that I have made a good confession only to get off of track, only to start doubting God, but I doubted God based upon what I was seeing. I have doubted God based upon what I was experiencing. And even though 24 hours before I experienced this particular thing, God told me that all was well. God told me that it would work out in my favor. And I shouted about the word. I danced about God telling me that this was for my good. But there are times that you can experience something, and if you're not mature in God, what you experience can move you. What you see can move you. What you hear can move you. Pastor, what you mean move you? It can cause you to be in a place that God never ordained for you to be in. And this is the reason some of us worry the way we do. This is the reason some of us panic about things the way that we do. The moment that it doesn't look the way we think it should look, many of you hit the panic button. But I come to tell you there's good news. You don't always have to hit the panic button. I come to be a witness to somebody that you can grow in God to the point to where you can be going through things and people can be screaming to you, hit the panic button. Trouble can be saying to you, hit the panic button. But you'll sit there just chilling. You'll sit there knowing that God is going to show up. Can I take it further? Not only do you have full assurance that the God you serve will show up, but you have learned over the years that when he shows up, he will show out. Has God ever showed out in your life? Has he ever showed out in your life? You ought to give him a praise then. If he has showed out in your life, gave you something that man said you wouldn't have, called you to live in something that folks say you couldn't afford. Come on, somebody. I said he showed up and he showed out. What you mean show out? Did what only he could do. Am I right about that? And when you mature again in God, then you will trust him no matter what. You will have confidence in him no matter what. You know how folk talk about their back being against the wall. But when you have full confidence in God, it don't matter if your back is against the wall, 10 inches from the wall, you know God is going to do it. Your back could be pressed in the wall, but you know some way, somehow, oh, I'm already preaching, he will come through. I said some way, somehow, he will come through. Am I right about it? And he'll come through every time. Somebody shout every time. He'll do it when? He'll do it when? He'll do it when? And as you also mature, you learn this about God. That there are times that when you're young in God, see, can anybody relate to this? God seemingly does things before time. He'll show out before the due date. He'll show out a month or two before you actually needed him to do something. But it just seems like the more you mature in him, he don't just show up that quick no more. Then he starts showing up past the deadline. Then he starts showing up when folks said that it was over. But when you are mature, you recognize about God that he is not limited by time. Am I preaching right? That's faith. That's having faith in him. How then, Pastor, do we get this faith? Notice Romans the 10th chapter, because we're looking at some things right now. When we turn to Romans 10, that Paul was teaching the saints at Rome. Notice what Paul was teaching the saints at Rome when you consider Romans 10 and verse number 14. Notice this right here. Romans 10 and verse number 14. Paul asks a question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, if you gonna have the right faith, you need a preacher. I said you need a preacher. You don't just need somebody to say it. You need somebody to say it and live it before you. You need an anointed preacher. Somebody that can preach when they in the fiery furnace. You need a preacher that can get a word even though he's been in the lion's den. Come on, somebody. But how can they hear? Look at the wisdom of God. Look at the method of God. He could have did it anyway because he's God. But God say, no, I'm going to allow faith to come through a preacher. I'm going to allow it to come through a bona fide man, a woman of God. Listen, whom I have anointed to proclaim the word, or who I have sent to say what it is that I want them to say. You got to understand, by the time I get up here, I just want to say what God want to tell me to say. I just want to do whatever he want me to do. And listen, I want to say it regardless of how y'all looking. I said I want to say it whether y'all amen it or not. Especially when I know it's right. But see, a preacher who ain't sent, he need an amen. But see, I came knowing that it is the truth whether you amen it or not. Come on, why? Because it is what I live by. I don't feed you what I don't eat. Oh, I don't feed you what I don't eat. And so if you see me eating and you see me getting stronger, you see God blessing me, you see God moving for me, why don't you start eating what I'm cooking? Why don't you start eating what I'm serving? Be careful, be careful. I mean, be seated. But you all know, especially most mamas. See, when you cooking and you know what you doing, you don't always need folk to critique your recipe. No, I've been baking this pound cake for years. Get out of here. No, I've been doing this potato salad for years. But see, the problem in the church is that when the pastor cooking, when he's serving what God wants his people to have, instead of some of God's folk receiving, they are critiquing. Is that right? And see, God ain't giving you no buffet. It's only two things on the menu. So when you show up, you don't even say, I wonder what pastor gonna feed us today. Ain't but two things on the menu. Knowledge and understanding. Eat all you want. Be greedy when it come to it. It's amazing. Some of y'all greedy in the natural, but you're malnourished spiritually. You got to learn to be greedy when it come to God's word. Be hungry.
You could be sitting beside somebody that's saying, I don't like this. But you just sitting there looking like, good, this is good. And you letting them know, oh, tasting that the Lord is what? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So see, a bona fide preacher is going to help you to believe God the way you need to believe him. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Look at verse 17. Breaks it down even further. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. See, faith coming this morning. And see, not just when I say it, but when it is clearly explained to you, to the point to where you can take the scripture and pull out of it was significant, watch this, not just at the time that it was written, but when you really get understanding, you know why that scripture is relevant for what you're going through. See, that's what makes the world of the word so relevant, is that though it was spoken thousands of years ago, here I am going through something. And that word is speaking to me. Listen to me, causing me to put my faith in God. Think about Job. Think about when we preach or teach about Job and how Job, through everything he went through, continued to trust God. See, when you understand and when you receive the word, it should cause you to trust him in a more excellent way. Why? When you look at your brother Job. Faith comes by hearing. So when I hear how Job trusted God and God blessed him bountifully, then whatever I'm going through, though it may not stack up to what Job went through, I just tell myself, I just got to trust him like my brother Job. When we teach about Daniel in the lion's den, then it lets me know when I get in my den, then just like he protected Daniel and caused the whole situation to promote him, then I got to recognize about my den, if it ain't my time to die, if it ain't my time to go, then this is not about death, but about promotion. Did y'all catch that? Something show up looking like death, but it's promotion. Death figuratively means the end. Sometimes you'll go through a situation that looks like this is the end. You can't go any farther. You can't go beyond this. But then that very thing, God uses it to push you or to elevate you to a higher place, to a higher realm in him. You know what I'm talking about? When you hear messages about the woman with the issue of blood and how she had full assurance in Jesus, then you got to take it and know, hey, I got to have full assurance in him. Y'all remember the one with the issue of blood, right? When she said, if I touch the hem of his, I'm going to be made well. I'm going to be made whole. I'm going to be made better. This blood going to dry up. Can I break it down? What the doctors could not do. When I touch Jesus, it's going to happen. Now, faith comes by what? Hearing. So you don't have an issue of blood. I don't have an issue of blood. But she knew when she touched Jesus, something would happen. Now, that moves me. That stirs, come on, Pastor, my faith. To know that when I come to church, when I praise him, something going to happen for me. When I give to him, something going to happen for me. When I clap to him, something gonna happen for me. Come on. And you'll see everybody clapping, but everybody don't have expectation when they clapping. Whoa, you better get that. But you gotta know, she had such full assurance in Jesus. Remember when she arrived, according to the disciples of Jesus, everybody was touching him. And according to the Bible, she didn't really see anything special happening to the people that were touching him. Don't you know the enemy tried to get in her ear and tell her, look, they ain't getting that. What makes you think you gonna get something? See, I just separated the congregation. There are people sit back and look and say, well. But see, she didn't base what was gonna happen to her on what was happening to other people. They were touching him for a number of reasons. Just like folk come to church for a number of reasons, but I come to get faith. Am I talking to you this morning? Am I talking to you this morning? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of what? God. So I need the word of God in order to have strong faith. Is that right? Notice the book of James. Notice the book of James, the second chapter this morning. Turn to James, the second chapter. See, I didn't just give just to be playing. Come on. I got some stuff I want that's bigger than me. I said, I got some things I want that's bigger than me. And I know through my giving, see, I speak past tense. Given has. That's past tense for me. And that's going to keep happening. But understand, when I say given has changed my living. Through my giving. And see, I look for things to happen because of my giving. Come on. That's how you need to be. If you truly give according as God will have for you to give, don't just look for stuff to happen for you in the sanctuary. You got to look for it to happen for you in Saks Fifth. Come on. You got to be able to look at something you desire and know because of my giving, I ain't going to always just look at it. But I'm going to touch it. I'm going to grab it. I'm going to put it on the counter. Listen, and it's going to be paid in full. All of this stuff happened to me through my giving. I don't know what y'all doing. There were certain stores I went past. I didn't even go in. I went past them. Why? I was like, nah, I ain't going into that stuff. Nah. But now I find myself running to those first. Come on, it's the truth. Some of y'all, now you're getting quiet. Now, can I be honest? Now, a lot of these places, the first place I go when I get in them is the clearance rack. Now, most of them have a clearance rack. And if I don't see it, I will ask. Can we help you? Do you have a clearance rack? That's probably where I'm going to start. I'm just trying to tell you what giving will do. Some of you still looking. Why you say all that? Because I'm telling you, when you give, God has a way of bringing you to a place. Listen, that when you look back, you never saw yourself doing the things that you are able to do. That's some of our testimony. No way you can look back at a certain point when you were truly down. Come on, I'll break it down. When you was in bankruptcy, that God would turn around and bless you the way that he has. Woo, have helped you time and time and time and I'm trying to get some preachers up in here. God has helped me time and time and time. It has been God that helped me drive what I wanted to drive. Years ago, God told me at the call out, why don't you get what you really want? Because for years when I got called, I got what they said I could get. One determined by no color or nothing. Just, hey, look, can I get this? No. Can I get this? Now, can we get this? Can't get that one either. Why we come? That's what you're saying? Okay, come back. All right, we'll come back. But see now, whole different mentality. Whole different mentality. I'm talking to somebody. God will take you places. God will show you things. But Pastor, God is not a material God. Who told you that? God is not just spiritual. God cares about you in every single aspect of your life. Can I break it down? He cares about what you owe Noonan Utility right now. He cares about that. Yes, he does. He cares about that. Cares about what's in your cabinets. God cares about what's in your refrigerator. I'm talking right. Every aspect. The Bible says even the hairs of our hair are numbered. Are numbered. He don't just know how many is on your head. If a hair fall, he know which number that was that. Oh, I'm trying to get somebody to be encouraged that God knows. He knows everything. You know how you can be around people and have problems they can't even discern. Come on. But yet then God says, hey, look, I know you're looking good. You sharp. You killing it. But I know that need you got. And I'm going to help you meet that need. Because you get around some folk, you can just be dressed a certain way and they'll just. But teacher, James 2, verse number 20. Some of you need to know that you'll stop all that worrying when you recognize God cares. James 2 and 20, but do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Listen to how he put it. But do you want to know, watch what he called him. Oh, foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Works is corresponding actions. See, when you really have faith, when you really trust God, your corresponding actions will be the basis or the reason why you do what you do. See, faith without works, faith without corresponding actions is dead. Listen to me. Dead faith is unproductive. Dead faith is unfruitful. Dead faith will never produce results. I'm living by faith to get results. I'm trusting God in these times. So that no matter what happens in these times, I'm going to get the results he ordained for me to have. But I can't do it if I'm operating. You can't do it if you operated by or with dead faith. It's unproductive. It's unfruitful. Now, dead faith leads to people, you really need to hear this, being unhappy. Unhappy. Come on, miserable, frustrated. Come on, we can just keep going on. When you operate with dead faith, you're going to be an unhappy person. You're going to be a miserable person. Are you listening? Now listen, I'm talking about in the church. You're going to be in the church, but unhappy. You're going to be faithfully coming, but miserable. Could you imagine that showing up week in and week out to hear the word, but you frustrated with life, frustrated with your problems, and you in the church? Did y'all catch that? You in the church. I'm not going to be in the church and unhappy. No way. Not me. Not me. You know why? It's simple. I don't like being unhappy. Whoa, I wish you look at somebody and say, show he right. Look at somebody and say, I agree with him totally. If it be true, tell him I don't like being unhappy. See, so I use my faith to make sure no matter what I go through, that I'm going to be happy while I go through it. I'm happy when I deal with trouble. I'm happy when things don't go the way that I wanted them to go. I can remain a happy person because my faith towards God is not dead. It's not dead. See, dead faith folk talk. They say the right thing. Woo, I say they say the right thing. But they don't necessarily put words with what they say. I know God can do it, but why you ain't moving? Why you're not obeying him? Why you're not doing what he told you to do if you know that he can do it? He can do anything but fail. Well, why you crying about what failed? Why you not sleeping at night about a job? When God gave you the job that you got fired from or dismissed, why can't you just simply believe that if he want to, he'll give you that job back plus a raise, or he'll open up another door and he'll let you know that I opened this door. Come on. When you live by faith, God will open doors for you. That, watch this, that no man can. I said that no man can what? Can I talk to my wives? And many doors that you want your husband to open for you, honey, there are doors he cannot open that God will open for you. Did y'all hear me, sisters? He'll cause doors to swing open for you. Lord, have mercy. But he is also the God who can close doors. And sometime in our life, God closes doors that he don't allow us to open, and he don't allow man to open. He's no, that door is closed. Now trust me to open the door that needs to be opened in your life. Keep that frustration out of here. Ooh, kick misery straight to the curb and tell it, it ain't living here. Unhappiness ain't living at 80 Hidden Lakes Drive. We got to trust God for what comes our way. I'm talking right to somebody. Because you find yourself up and down. That ain't good. That's not the desire of God for his people, that you be up, down. Boasting real big because it's tax season. Come on. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Oh, you got a good return. Yeah, I can tell you, you got a good return. Y'all know how we can talk. And some of y'all look at me like, Pastor, I'm offended by that example. But I used to be there. Well, we talking big. We just got a big check. Listen, a big check that didn't bounce. When the government give some of you a check, you get happy. Like the government check can't bounce. But then God will write you a check indirectly, well, through a promise. And you'll say, I ain't going to shout till I believe. I ain't going to smile until it happened. You didn't say that about the government check. You didn't say that about the check on your job. You got happy when they paid you. But it was based upon relationship or trust. Come on. Many of us, we get paid for our job, we go up to the bank with absolute assurance. I'm having to work with this. Let me tell you how we know our assurance is so strong. You've already paid stuff with that check. You on winning tofu. It's coming. Based upon what? Friday check. That's how much confidence you got in that job. But then God will say, have that same confidence in me. Go over there and say it's going to happen. Go over there and say that that belongs to you. Hold up, God. Now see, it seems comical, but it ain't. What is the main difference when saints operate with this dead faith? You can't see God. But his promises are more real than the promises that man make that you can see. Look at James 2. Let's back up to verse 18. I want you to get a better clarity of this. I want us to get a better clarity. James 2 and 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Tell you that when it comes to works, works put faith on display. Tell somebody else, works put faith on display. You maybe can't see my faith, but you can see my works. See, notice what he goes on to say. Watch this now. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Now watch this. Even demons believe. And what? Tremble. But see, demons can't have works with their faith. Demons believe in the existence of God, but they cannot act upon the existence of God, nor his premises. But you and I. See, when Jesus was walking the water, and Peter looked and said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Peter showed his, you could see faith on display. Watch how simple it is. By him getting out the boat. I said, you could see faith on display when he stepped out the boat. And some folks will tell you incorrectly that he stepped out on nothing. That ain't true. He stepped out on God's word. He landed on the word, which is a sure. See, water is not considered a sure foundation. So God laid his word on top of the water. So that when Peter stepped, he was not necessarily just landing just on what he saw, but on the word which told him, come. Therefore, faith is never a blind move. Faith is never a blind leap. No. If I leap, I'm leaping because God said leap. If I jump, I'm jumping because God said. Do you understand? And see, this is the confusion sometime in the church. Because some of you would have been in the boat. Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. Come. No, I'm good. Then you would have left there telling everybody, Jesus told me I could have came. I could have walked on the water. Why you didn't walk? Well, you know, it was storming and there's a lot of stuff going on, but I could have did it. Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you trust God? Oh, I'm finna make somebody upset. Some of you don't have right now what God ordained for you to have years ago because you didn't trust him to get it. Could you imagine Peter in the boat and the other disciples looking at him? Like, why you didn't go? But then when he went, they saw his works. They saw Peter walking on water. Listen, defying gravity. Defying, listen, the very laws of physics. Remember what I told you, when you a faith walker, you'll often come in conflict with the others. Now, scientists don't believe that particular scripture. You know why they don't believe it? They can't prove it on paper. Because water is not supposed to hold up a man, the physics will not allow it. But because the earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof, God did what physics said couldn't be done. Are y'all with me? Go back to Romans 14. Woo, Lord have mercy. Go back to Romans 14. And notice what he said. This is our main scripture. Do you have faith? Romans 14 verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Or towards God. Now I quoted this, but now I want to show it to you. Go back to Romans 1. Go back to Romans 1. Go back to Romans 1 and then look at verse number 8. Romans 1, verse number 8. Watch this. Remember what he said in Romans 14, 22. Do you have faith? Now watch this in Romans 1 and 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So why then, Paul, do you ask them, do they have faith? Don't they have it if it's being spoken of throughout the world? Don't they have it? Or have they allowed something to contaminate their faith? So Paul wants the church to examine themselves. Because sometimes we can think we in faith. Whoa, but we in self. You're only looking at what you can do. You're not really looking at what God can do through you. Woo. And the greater your abilities, the more there is a tendency for you to look at what you can do. One thing I've always known about Donna, she was good with numbers. Good at working numbers. Come on. Good at paying on things. She taught me how to pay on things. When I first got, well, I wanted to pay everything off now. Pay it off now. I don't even want it hanging over me. She said, I'll show you a better way. Don't send them all of it. You see that? You can send them just what's due. And see, over time, doing that, it caused a lot of trouble. Caused a lot of trouble. Because it gave us this thing where we said, no matter how rough it looks, just do the numbers. And see, God saw, look, y'all, okay, I see what y'all are doing. You trusting in your ability. I'm going to let this thing get so jacked up that 2 + 2 will not be 4 on your bill paper. Now, what are you going to do? Woo! I know I'm talking right. Well, I will get another job. This is when a lot of folk work 2 jobs. 3 jobs. Man, I got 4 jobs, man. Don't let nobody fool you. People don't work no 3-4 jobs because they love every one of them. Ain't that much love in the world. That when you working so much that you can enjoy the fruit of your labor. But see, you'll look at your ability and you'll try to work your way out of it. You'll try to overtime your way out. If I can get 10 hours of overtime each week this month, that's an extra $925. And if I got an extra $925, then everything going to be all right. Bam, the refrigerator went out. Car clicking. You got starter issues. See, you didn't have none of that down now. Now you done worked overtime, got your $925. But the refrigerator and the starter got you behind $150. And you didn't even want to go in sad, if the truth be told. That was your Saturday to rest. But you're going to get yourself out. See, God will get you to a place where they'll offer you all kind of money. And God will say, stay home. Stay home, go to Redbox, get you two movies, and just chill today. But God, I'll take care of that. I got to move on, but this is true. I got to move on. I remember years ago, a certain person would give us money. And each month, or each year, around the same time, they give us money. And they say, look, take this money and go on vacation. Enjoy yourselves. You look at it. $1,400. Ooh, wait. We're going to fix stuff around here. We're going to pay everything. We would never be obedient. See, you hear us saying that. That's right. We would never be obedient. And one year they gave us the money again. And God said, obey me. Trust me. Because, see, we would be on vacation with nothing. Because the money that was given, we was trusting in ourselves. We can't do that. Can't do that. And then one year the money was given to her, and I said, hold up. Because, see, I had got to the point where I'm tired of talking about how much I trust God. Money being given to us, and we won't even take the money and do what God said do. And I knew within me, if I don't do this right this time, God gonna stop this flow of money. And I told God, I said, we going. We taking every dime and we going. Stuff was behind. We went and had one of the best vacations. We were not down in the city thinking about the bill. We were not second guessing God. We were just obeying him. You said, take it and do this. We're going to take it and do it. And when we got back, he took care of everything that needed to be taken care of. What was he teaching us? I can do more than you can. I'm going to preach it right on your best day. On your best day, you can't do what God can do. Somebody need to shout, I receive. Somebody shout, I receive. Because some of you are like, why people don't ever bless me like that? Because you ain't got to the point where you're going to do right with it. God will give you things that won't be paid out of your check. But your main focus will be, how can we fit this into the check? See, ask God. It may not be that the check is going to take care of this. Romans 14:22. I got to close. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Remember, Paul wants them to examine. But he also wants them to understand that if you have faith toward God, hold fast to it. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Now listen, why would we condemn ourselves and what we approve? If we approve faith, listen, because this is important. We approve faith as being, number one, good. We approve it as being good. Good meaning that it is right. It's right. We approve faith as being good. Faith is right. Faith is legit. Faith works. So why would I look at faith, approve it as being good, a blessing, legit, something that works, and then turn around and condemn myself? Listen, in what I approved. See, he knew what was happening in Rome. Guess what God knew was happening at Refuge? You approve faith as being good, as being a blessing, as being legit, as being right. But then you turn around and condemn yourself, listen, in what you approve. It was your testimony that faith brought you out. Now you're turning around condemning what you say brought you out. Are y'all with me? And this is what happened. What causes a person to condemn themselves? Because the message this morning is, don't condemn yourself. Why do we do that? Why do we double talk? Blessings and curses shouldn't come out the same. Either God helping you or he hurting you. What is it that causes saints to condemn themselves? To turn around with the same mouth, the same actions, and what they approved, they are now condemning themselves. Three things take place. We're in the close. Three things take place that will cause you to condemn yourself. Number one, trials. 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 Don't condemn yourself because of trials. Don't condemn what you have approved, which is faith, because of trouble. Because trouble don't last always. This too shall pass. So I'm not going to condemn myself. Number two, persecution. Persecution. See, when you have said that faith is good, when you have approved faith, it's right, it's legit, it works, you will be persecuted because of your faith. Because of your faith. Some of you are going through things now, not because of what you did wrong, but you're going through that because of what you're doing right. Persecution is real, saints. You can be persecuted in your house. You can be mistreated by somebody you live with, somebody you good to. And it all boils down to is that it's a test or an attack upon your faith. You know how folks will get upset with people and then leave God because of people. I don't care how many folk line up and mistreat you, God gonna always be good to you. And like it or not, there are times that people mistreat you and me. Who you've been good to and who I've been good to. Why does that happen? Because we need to taste a little bit of what Jesus went through. I said a little bit. People that mistreated Jesus, he was good to them. Come on. And some of you, you just lose it when folk mistreat you that you've been good to. Stop that. And then finally, the cares of the world. The cares of the world. Like it or not, when this pandemic hit, there were people who had approved faith as good, legit, it works. But in this pandemic, they condemned themselves. Come on. A lot of folk, and oh, this is going to make some, oh, going to get some folk. Going to stir some up, I know it. But a lot of them were people who before the pandemic, they were known in the church as your main faith walkers. So-and-so went around all time smiling to my, she'll trust God no matter what. She didn't consider the pandemic coming. She didn't know nothing about it. Pastor is a man of God. He's my spiritual father. You know what? I'm leaving this church because I don't like the way Pastor handling the pandemic. I don't approve of what he's doing. Never stop to ask them, tell, I don't need your approval. Come on. And just flip-flop. Just like that. It don't break loose up in there. Ain't nothing broke loose yet. That don't mean folks ain't sitting back watching. It gonna break though. It's gonna break loose after a while. Personally, I think one of the greatest things we did was to leave certain things up to certain people. And to me, it has worked beautiful. Because it's what God said to do. Oh, Lord. in the clothes. There are certain things you didn't see happening in your life when you was talking big. I know God is a healer. And now you staring at the Bible you read and can't see the letters. Can he do it? Let me remember, if we condemn ourselves of what we approve, which is faith, then Paul asked the question, do you have faith? Do you have faith? If you have it to yourself before or toward God. Here's the close. Contain, if you don't condemn yourself, in what you approve, and you have faith towards God or in God, you will be happy. Come on, where do you get that from? Look at 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God? Here it is. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he That means right now, if you truly a faith walker, nothing needs to change in your life for you to be happy. Come on, nothing. Nothing. You don't need the raise to be happy. Come on, nothing needs to change for you to be happy. Why? You're a faith walker. You have faith towards or in God. And tell your neighbor, say, based upon all of that, no matter what you're going through right now, what you may go through this evening, and what you could go through tomorrow, tell that neighbor, don't condemn yourself in what you approve. Now look at that person and ask him, does faith work for you? And give him your answer. I'm done. Let's stand. Let's give him a hand of praise. Let's stand and give him a tremendous hand of praise for the teaching, for the word. Come on. Take your claps up if you have. All right. Listen. Make no mistake about it. When you live by faith, there will be moments that you will have in life where in that moment, I don't know if some of you have ever experienced it, but I pray you do if you had, that in that moment, you have what I can describe as a heavenly moment. That's how happy you are. When God has manifested something you've been waiting on. And in that moment, man, you just don't know if you'll ever be any more happier than you are right now. I mean, they handing you the keys to the house. Lord, have mercy. And at the closing, they told you the house dropped $40,000 because of a discrepancy in the paperwork. Oh, my God. You just sitting across from the lawyer or the broker, whoever. You just so happy you just can't contain yourself in their office. Shaking. I normally control myself, but did you say 40 or 4? No, we said 40. I thought that's what you said. Lord have mercy. And you having a heavenly moment. Anybody ever had one? See, those of you that hadn't, I want you to experience. I really do. If that's a healing, I want you to experience. If that's a deliverance, I want you to experience. When I got my first car that I just, it was a me car. It was a me car. It was a car that Donald really don't need to drive this car. This is my car. This is a me car. This is a certain attitude drive this car. Certain way of dressing drive this car. But she turned around and got her a me car too. Because she saw how much I enjoyed my me car. But driving that me car back. Oh man. Oh man. Don't let nobody lie to you. Until your car just gets you from A to B. They do. But there's some better rides from A to B. There's some comfortability from A. You can go from A to B with or without air when it's 100 degrees. But don't you sit there and lie and act like that cool breeze blowing on you. More folk don't do what I do. I ride without air. I do. That shocked y'all. I ride most of the time without air. But see, what am I trying to get us to understand in this thing that we need to understand? No matter how much God blessing you, you'll have heavenly moments. But earth is not heaven. That means down here, as you have your heavenly moments, you're also going to have your tears. You're also going to have your pain. Come on. That's just God's way of reminding his children, this really ain't home. This really ain't home. You're a citizen of a far greater kingdom than this down here. So he gives us these moments, but then these trials and these troubles are just a part of life. But God say, if you approve of faith, this is all I'm telling you, then you can still be happy as you deal with things that prove to you that earth is not heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us to trust you, Lord, even in a more excellent way. We love you. We thank you. Even, Lord, now we thank you for the heavenly moments that you give us here on earth. But we also thank you for being deliverer, protector, and the one who blesses us as we deal with the trials, troubles, and hardships that are simply a part of life or living. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for the word that has enriched our lives. We say, so be it unto your will, to your purpose for our life. Be it unto us according to your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. This has been Pastor Leonard Cochran here from A Place of Refuge, Noonan. Thanking you this morning for tuning in with us on live stream. It has been a blessing and a privilege to teach the word of God. Thank you for your past, your present, and future support for this ministry, which helps us to do ministry on a high level. Until next time, God bless you, and remember that Jesus is...
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.